Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. We've got a very exciting show today. We've got two freshly minted national champion cross-country skiers, Keegan Randall and James Southam. James just finished his 30K classic race within the hour, I believe, and came in first, won that championship. And this morning, Keegan won her championship. We all know them by their first names. They're Anchorage's favorite son and daughter, as it were, and we're really pleased to have them on the air today to talk about cross-country skiing. And last but not least, and I certainly don't want to discount them, we have Jeff Scott, who's the president of the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage, in the studio. Keegan and James, due to the races, are going to be on the phone, and Jeff is here in the studio to talk about skiing and recreational skiing here in Anchorage, as well as racing. It's something a huge percentage of our Anchorage population does, and we also happen to be, it looks like, the place where the best skiers in the country come from, as of certainly this week and the results out at Kincaid Park. So, Jeff, welcome to Hometown Alaska. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you, Charles. It's a real pleasure to be here and talk to you about Nordic Ski Association. Really excited about that.
Great. And I think James is probably still going through the formalities of having won his race, and he'll call in as soon as he can. But we have Keegan Randall on the line, and really happy to have you with us, Keegan.
Oh, thanks. It's a pleasure.
Well, so you won your third championship race out of the four that are happening this week, this morning. Give us a quick feel for what it was like out there, the crowd and your performance and your competition. Just give us a quick rundown. I'm sure everybody's really interested in hearing what happened.
Great. Well, we were all a little bit surprised to wake up this morning and see the snow falling. But I, in particular, was a little bit excited because I knew that would make for an exciting race out there. We were racing 20 kilometers, which was three laps of a 7K course. So there was a lot of strategy out there today. If you were leading, you were kind of plowing the trail for everyone behind you. So it was a little disadvantage. So we definitely took turns leading through the race. We were a big pack through the first lap. And then midway through the second lap, I felt like we needed to have a pace change, so I went to the front, started to stretch things out a little bit, and Holly Brooks, my APU teammate, came with me, and so it was her and I working together over the final lap as we kind of stretched out our lead, took turns, and then with about 3K to go, it was, you know, woman to woman, and we challenged each other, and I came out just a little bit ahead, so it was a fun day. I have to say that the spectators were just incredible out there. It's the most spectators I've ever seen at a national championship, and it's just a real treat to race here at home.
That's fantastic. And you know, I got so excited about getting you on the phone here and talking to you that I forgot to tell folks the phone numbers that we can call in. Now, skiers or non-skiers, fans, whoever is interested in talking to Keegan Randall and James Southam and Jeff Scott, president of the Nordic Ski Association, please do call in. The number here is 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. You can send us an email at hometownalaska@kska.org. And, of course, if you're calling during the rebroadcast at 10 o'clock, you're not going to find anyone here because we're here at 2 o'clock during the original broadcast. And do call because we find that people tend to call in the last couple of minutes, and so it's great if you call at the beginning and get on with our guests. So, Keegan, tell us about how it is skiing here compared to what you're doing all over the world, and then going from this into the Olympics, which obviously is maybe a step up in competition. Is it more relaxed for you since you've already made the team and you're not skiing against maybe the other world's very top skiers?
Well, I got to get my feet wet with the season over in Europe this year and race the first month on the World Cup, so I got a chance to go over there and test myself, and I was happy with some top results. So I came back home to Anchorage here with a lot of confidence looking towards Vancouver. But this week is a great chance for me to run the body through a test run, and it's been a challenging week of competition. You know, there have been strong skiers every single day. So it's been really exciting for me to see how the training has paid off. And, you know, maybe the level of competition here is a little different on the World Cup. You know, of course, when you're racing in the World Cup, it's seconds separating the top. But it's been plenty challenging this week, and I'm happy to have this type of preparation leading into Vancouver. The conditions we saw on the course today with the falling snow, is very likely what we will see in Whistler at the Olympics. So it was very good practice today. And, yeah, I think this is just the best preparation I could have hoped for leading into my third Olympics.
That's great. Hey, we've got a caller now. Greg, did you have a comment for Keegan?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Keegan for the fast and female event you're doing this Saturday. My daughter's going to be showing up, and she's all excited to meet you and get a chance to ski with you. Thanks for giving back to the community.
Yeah, that's a good opening. When is that happening, and who can participate?
All right, well, yeah, we've got our second annual Fast and Female Fun on Skis Day coming up on Saturday. Last year was our first time hosting the event in Anchorage. I'd hoped we'd get 50 girls out, and we ended up with 160. And it was just, despite the cold weather, it was a very fun day on skis. We've got girls ages 9 to 19 out there. And then a bunch of the elite racers that are in town for the championships have agreed to stay over an extra day to lead the ski session as instructors. So we've got the event coming up on Saturday. It will be from 1 to 5 at the Kincaid Chalet. We've got pre-registration is open online, and you can access that from the Nordic Ski Association website. But it's going to be a fun day. We're going to be skiing. We're going to have some healthy snacks, some inspirational talks, and finish it off with a great yoga session. So it's going to be a really fun day, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's a great opportunity for our Anchorage girls to sort of interact with some of the world's best skiers. And it kind of leads me into my next question, which was about how growing up in Anchorage influenced you and made you into the world, I guess, the best American woman skier that we've ever seen. I guess you were part of the Junior Nordic program that the Nordic Ski Association runs. You were in the high school program. Tell us about how you came up as a skier in Anchorage.
Well, I mean, I really can attribute a lot of my success as a skier to the development opportunities that I've had here in Anchorage as a cross-country skier. You know, I had an aunt and uncle that were Olympic cross-country skiers, so I was certainly introduced to the sport at a very young age. I started the Anchorage Junior Nordic League when I was 6, and I have to admit, it was a little bit challenging at first. You know, it was a physical, you know, test, and cold sometimes, but I really fell in love with playing games, having fun with my friends, going off jumps, having treats after practice, and so that got me introduced to skiing. And then as I got a little older, I got a little bit more excited about the competitive side, you know, trying to make the Wolverines and the Hawks groups. My aunts were, Mary and Betsy were leading the groups, and I just died trying to keep up with them. You know, my mom likes to tell me how terrible my technique was, but I was just out there wanting to be at the front. So that certainly introduced me to skiing. And then when I got a little older and got into high school, my best friend, Tara Hamilton from Service High, her and I had fun battling out over 4 years. And the high school program was a great, you know, it's amazing to see how many skiers come out for a sport like that. And so we had fun just competing here in Alaska, and that kind of opened my eyes to the opportunities that would be available nationally and internationally. And it was a great springboard. And once I kind of had skied through the high school system and was approaching the end of my high school career, I looked to the Alaska Pacific University team as a great way to continue my international development. And, you know, it's a little different choice than some other skiers make that, you know, leave the state. I chose to stay here and focus on skiing and, you know, and be patient for a few years. And it's really paid off.
Yeah, so. I guess it has. And we're going to, my other guest, Jeff Scott, is here. We're going to talk a little bit about that community aspect of skiing, but Keegan needs to go in just a minute. So I wanted to ask you one more question, Keegan, about your, we all know you're going to the Olympics. It's next month. Do you go with goals in mind of what you'd like to accomplish there? Since you've been before, you've been successful, you seem to be really at the top of your game. What are you trying to accomplish, or what would you hope to come back from the Olympics with?
Well, 2010 Olympics have been kind of that big carrot out in front of me for the last 10 years. So I've really been building up to this point. And the one challenge that I will encounter in Vancouver is that my best event, which is the sprint, will be in the classical style this year. And my best skate results have come in skate. So it's a little bit like a breaststroker trying to win a gold medal in the backstroke. but I've been working really hard on my classic technique, and I feel that my preparation has been top-notch. So when I head into Vancouver, a medal is certainly in the realm of possibility, but my goals are really focused on making it into the semifinals in the sprint, skiing strong in the team sprint and coming out, improving on my results from 2006.
And just, I said that was my last question. I got one more. Well, how do you differ as a skier now from 4 years ago? You obviously have more experience as a racer. Do you, is your fitness differ or your technique or any of the other aspects of skiing?
Well, cross-country skiing is one of those great sports that every year builds on itself. And I've been skiing, you know, seriously year-round for the last 10 years now. And that certainly will come in handy. I've seen, you know, a leap forward in results every year since 2006. And so certainly going into this year, I can be confident that my fitness is higher than it's ever been. The experience will play a huge portion, just knowing how to deal with how much pressure and extra things are going on at the Olympic Games when you're trying to perform. So, but I'm just really happy to have reached this point. I remember being at the Olympics in 2002 and seeing Sarah Hughes, the figure skater, win a gold medal at 16. And I have to say, I felt kind of sorry for her, you know, to have reached the pinnacle of her sport so early. I've had the last 10 years to work towards going after that medal, and I'm really excited about Vancouver.
That's great. Well, I just, I'm going to let you go, but let you know that I think everybody in Anchorage is really proud of you and thinking positive thoughts as you head down there. And it's great knowing that one of our own has made it to that level. So thanks for being with us, and thanks for representing Alaska and in representing America.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. And I have to say, coming from a place like Anchorage and from Alaska is pretty special. When I'm out on the trail, I feel like I've got, you know, thousands of hands pushing me along. It's been a great journey, and I have to thank everybody that's done such a good job in helping me get here.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Jeff, that was really fun. I've never had a chance to talk to Keegan before, and she's just a sweet and neat person to talk to and seems very modest to considering that she is, in fact, the greatest skier, woman skier, certainly, that America's ever produced.
She's a great ambassador for Nordic skiing and really represents us very well. Yeah, I wish her the best of luck and hope she has tremendous success this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
in Vancouver.
Well, she's obviously a big success no matter what. She's run three championships this week, and Kincaid, there's only one race left. So we'll see if she can sweep them. We're expecting another racer, Jane Southam, to call in. He's going through the formalities, having finished his victory today in the 30-kilometer classic race out of Kincaid, making him the national champion in that event. And we're going to talk about skiing in its many other aspects as well. I've got Jeff Scott, who's the president of the Nordic Ski Association, with me. And we welcome your calls. The local number is 550-8433. If you're outside of Anchorage, 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometownalaska@kska.org. And, of course, that's only good during the 2 o'clock hour. If you're listening at 10, it's a rerun. And we welcome calls from everyone, not only ski fans or enthusiasts, but people who think they might get interested in skiing or to get your kids interested in skiing. I was reading the Nordic Ski Club's newspaper that comes out. For those of you who buy your trail pin and support skiing, you get a newspaper. And Jeff had a column in which he made the comment that he thought that perhaps the most important thing that the Ski Association is doing is getting young skiers into the sport. And I've certainly had my kids participating in the Junior Nordic program, and it's had a huge impact on our family. It sounds like it had a really big impact on Keegan. Can you just tell us about the Junior Nordic program and where it comes from and how people can get involved for those who don't know about it?
Junior Nordic program joined NSAA a few years ago, and what is the program designed for is ages 6 through 14 for young people to get introduced to cross-country skiing. It's non-competitive, so it's designed to have fun, get exercise, to teach children that exercise outdoors is good for you, and hopefully develop lifelong skills of being healthy and exercising outdoors. And what's exciting is to hear how many of our competitive skiers did start with Junior Nordic.
Yeah, so any kid, you don't have to try out. You don't have to be good enough. If you never skied before in your life, you're still welcome to participate.
Exactly. What it's designed to do is introduce children to the sport. There's two seasons, the fall season and the spring season. Every year the spring season sells out very quickly, but you know, over 600 children participated this year in Junior Nordic, and we actually added two classes this spring. out at Russian Jack. So we'd like to grow that program, see if we can get it bigger.
Yeah. And for parents, it's great for you because, as I know from many years of experience, you go and you... It's actually easier to get kids outdoors than to get adults, and you know you need that exercise. So you take your kid, the kid skis with their group, and then you ski on your own for an hour, and then three days a week, you're getting 3 days of vigorous exercise, which is really what you need. So it's a great program. I guess the Nordic Ski Club website is probably the place for people to get more information.
Exactly. AnchorageNordicSki.com. There'll be a link for the Junior Nordic program.
Yeah, and you can find also a link on the kska.org website. And there's a few other links that people would find of interest as well besides Nordic Ski Association and Junior Nordic. Faster Skier is like an online news site with skiing information. There's an Alaska Ski Trail Report, which is a handy thing. Anybody who's out skiing can log in and tell what the skiing conditions are like wherever you are, and that way we can all share information. That link is on there. Also, the Ski Championship website is on there, which has got great information. It's actually got a minute-by-minute commentary on the races, so if you're in the office and wondering who's winning, you can get on and find out. And there's also some information about the Mat-Su Burro and the work they're doing to develop Hatcher Pass into a better ski area. What are the main goals of the ski association here in Anchorage right now? Are you looking at more trails? Are you looking at just, what would you say is the main thrust of what you're trying to do these days?
Charles, you know, our mission is to promote all Nordic ski type activities, racing, recreational, backcountry touring. But I think one of our biggest goals is to try to grow the sport. Everywhere you look, you're reading about whether it's child obesity or overweight adults. And I just feel that Nordic skiing is one of the best exercises. It's one way for all of us to be healthy and active. And that's one of our prime goals, is try to grow the sport, all aspects of it, and have more people out there living healthy and enjoying cross-country skiing.
Mm-hmm. How do we go about doing that?
Well, that's a good question, and that's one of the goals of, you know, trying to grow Junior Nordic, try to get more children involved. We're trying to grow some of our other programs like biathlon. What the Nordic Ski Association is going to do in the next few years, we're going to try to be more proactive with our PR and our marketing and put more of a positive message out there to the community and you know, try to help get a lot more folks excited about the sport. But having local Alaskan skiers competing in the Olympics, you know, having the nationals race here in Anchorage has definitely attracted a lot of publicity for us.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're
it's exciting.
You're starting, if you want to grow it, you're starting from a high level.
Yeah.
I pulled some stats off the internet today from the National Sporting Goods Association. This is a study that was done in 2006. And it shows that from 2001 to 2006, alpine skiers, the number went down by 17% in our country. Snowboarders, which I would have thought went up, went down 3%, whereas Nordic skiing went up 10% during that time period. Maybe it's less expensive, a little bit easier to get into than other sports. You can kind of do it anywhere. But it sounds like it's growing anyway and getting more attention.
Excellent. Yeah, it should. It's just such a great great way to stay healthy, especially in our long winters. And I couldn't imagine without having our trails here in Anchorage are just phenomenal. All over town, you don't have to drive very far. You can get a great workout. We keep them in very good condition. We've got a fleet of piston bullies and snow machines, so we're grooming all over Anchorage, Eagle River, and it's an excellent sport to stay active and healthy in the wintertime.
And apparently, I've heard a figure of something like 60,000 people in Anchorage are skiers. I don't know where that figure came from, but
I think it was a survey from the municipality a few years ago. It'd be interesting to get a good accurate count of how many skiers. We've got approximately 4,000 to 5,000 members that joined the Nordic Ski Association over the years. It goes up and down. That's also one of our goals, is to try to encourage more folks to join. The trails here are majority of the trails are groomed by the Nordic Ski Association, and we do that on a volunteer basis. You don't have to buy a trail pin like you have to buy a ski pass at Alyeska. So it's a voluntary contribution to support our trail grooming efforts and our club.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that a lot of people may not know, is that though these trails, I guess well over 100 kilometers of them, if you count all the bike trails and Kincaid and Hillside and so forth,
170
kilometers. 170
kilometers.
They may be owned by the municipality, but the municipality doesn't pay for the grooming of most of them.
Exactly. We have a partnership with the municipality. They do groom Russian Jack, and they groom some of the multi-use trails like Chester Creek and the one at the Coastal Trail.
Coastal Trail,
yeah. But the Nordic Ski Association grooms the majority of the other trails in town to include multi-use trails like the Tour of Anchorage and the multi-use trail out at Kincaid that parallels the road.
Mm-hmm. And that comes out of basically these trail pin monies and money that you raise from ski races?
Exactly. Majority of our money does come from private donations from our members and trail grooming fees. And this year we added, for the highest level of membership, a long-sleeve T-shirt that has a great symbol and of course, our blue bear, the symbol of the Nordic Ski Association. So we're encouraging folks to participate and hope they get a good value out of, the basic membership is 100, or the highest level membership is 150 for a single and 300 for a family.
Mm-hmm.
So like you mentioned, Charles, it is fairly inexpensive.
It's a pretty good bargain, yeah. And I understand in other places where they don't have trails as good as ours, you actually have to pay a fee before you can even get on the trail. So it's not voluntary.
Exactly. Majority of those are privately owned trails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other programs of the club, I know there was the ski train, which I understand is no longer going to be happening, is maybe just out for a year. Tell us what the ski train was and what the story is there.
Boy, the ski train's been around for decades, and that was a very popular tour to go in the backcountry and have a day of fun skiing and then have a fun ride back and partying. But the Alaska Railroad has gone through some very difficult financial times, and they decided to cancel that this year. So we're in discussions with the railroad and hoping to get the train back for next year. No promises, but that's an event we'd definitely like to have back. We have a lot of loyal members that really enjoy that.
Was it something they were losing money on, or was it just an operational problem for them, or what was the reason for it exactly?
They've had some pretty serious revenue declines and some budget cuts, so yeah, it was they looked at just cutting costs anywhere they could.
I see. So maybe if the fare went up or something, it could go or something like that.
Exactly, Charles. We're going to look at some options of what mm-hmm. it'll take to get the train back.
Great. Yeah, I remember doing that as a kid and having the Oompa band on the train and seeing all this bizarre adult behavior.
Oh, yes. They start early in the morning playing the...
That's right. Well, great. My name is Charles Woolforth. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. My guest is Jeff Scott. He's president of the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage. We've heard from Keegan Randall, who won this morning's 20K National Championship out at Kincaid. And we're hoping to hear from James Southam, who has just won the 30K. Right now we've got a caller on the line. Nancy, did you have a question?
Yes. First, thank you to the Nordic Ski Association. I've been a longtime member and appreciate all they do. My question is, as we head into warmer winters as a result of global climate change, how is the Nordic Ski Association looking ahead to the long term with regard to trails at higher elevations and trails in areas that are likely to retain their snow? A lot of the resources of the club have been invested in Kincaid, and I wonder if there's a look at the long term as to where future locations will best hold their snow.
Nancy, that's exactly a challenge at Kincaid, is we can get some pretty warm conditions there and don't get quite as much snowfall as we do up in the higher elevations. That's one of the challenges of the grooming staff, is that they have to decide where to groom, and in different parts of town do get different levels of snow. One of the goals at Kincaid was to get snowmaking out at the park, and Kincaid Project Group has been very active in raising money to get that project done. But we have a group of folks that work with trails negotiation with the city and with other areas. We have not found higher trails to go after right now. There is some parkland up in South Anchorage that's at a higher level that they're talking about building some trails, and we're trying to get some cross-country ski trails there.
Section 36?
Yes, exactly. That's
mm-hmm. So it's a matter of constructing new trails, in your opinion, before we can really go up there and groom them? Is that the issue?
Well, they're trying to decide which trails or what type of trails they're going to build in Section 36. So mm-hmm. That's one thing that the Nordic Ski Club does, is that we actively promote ski trails and all the new parks that that are being developed, make sure that our voice is heard and that we can get ski trails committed. Kincaid Park is a phenomenal venue, and we'd hate to see that not ever get snow.
Hopefully that's way off in the future. But Nancy, did you have any more on that?
Yes, just to follow up, Section 36 is a higher elevation and a good potential site. But what about on the northeast side of town with the old biathlon trails up Arctic Valley Road, or perhaps since there tends to be a cold sink over against the east side, is there any thought about trails that would maybe be accessed across military land in that sort of Muldoon cold spot area? And I guess this is of concern, too, because the APU trails are not on dedicated municipal parkland. I think some of the Bartlett trails are also not secure for the long-term future. So what about in that northeast area of town?
Right. The Bartlett trails are, I think, school district, and some of them are maybe Elmendorf. Yeah, working with the military could be a challenge, but I'll work with our trails committee, and we'll talk about some options. I do live in the cold spot in East Anchorage, so I know exactly what Nancy's talking about.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea. Discussion, or more than discussion, has happened in the past of actually taking the grooming equipment up into Glen Alps and grooming that road that goes up towards Powerline Pass. But that's only something you do when it really gets bad, right? You don't do that during the midwinter times when they're skiing down at lower elevation.
Exactly, Charles. The Chugach State Park does some snow machine grooming up there. We will bring our machines up if there's no snow in Anchorage and groom that power line pass in cooperation with Chugach State Park. But we've got a lot of trails in Anchorage to maintain, and Eagle River and Mirror Lake. So,
yeah, how big an operation is this? I mean, how many people are working for the ski association, or maybe the budget, or how do you, I don't know how to quantify that. Either would be interesting.
We're a pretty good sized little business now. Our organization has grown over the years. We've added a number of different programs and events, but we've got an excellent executive director, Diane Moxness. She's been doing that for quite a few years for us, does a great job. We've got an office staff of three or four part-time folks that do a great job. And then our grooming staff, headed by Ben Powell, he's full-time, and I think we have two other full-time groomers and a couple other part-timers. So
they're out there in the middle of the night essentially getting the trails ready for everybody the
next exactly.
Day.
I left Kincaid last night, and they were snow blowing snow on the little trailers and hauling it with snow machines out to the thin sections on the race course to get the race prepared last night, and then the groomers are out in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that's constantly an issue in the letters to the editor and so forth is the conflicts between trail users and people saying, well, only skiers should be allowed on the Tour of Anchorage Trail, or horseback riders are ruining the trails and so forth, these conflicts. And then occasionally you'll hear somebody say, well, why can't we walk and take our dogs in Kincaid Park and that sort of thing. How do you manage to work out those issues, and what is the mechanism for that, whereby those things are resolved?
Let me start by saying it's really exciting to see the passion that folks have for their activity and the passion they have for the Anchorage trails. It's exciting, and there's so many different users that use our trails. And what the Nordic Ski Association has done for decades now, we've worked hard to designate trails ski only that we've improved on in the summer that are very easy to groom in the winter and give us recreational opportunities for skiing. So conflicts over trail use, we have to work through the municipality because they own the trails, and they're not owned by NSAA.
Mm-hmm.
We are been looking at the ski jurors have been asking if they could use some trails out at Kincaid, out in the Sisson Loop. The board is going to make a recommendation on that in the next couple of weeks to the municipality.
So then the municipal parks and rec would actually make the decision, and you'd be gathering information so you can present your opinion to the parks and rec, but it's not
exactly
the ski club that's deciding.
Right.
I see. But then, of course, you're not going to invest a lot of money in grooming a trail that's going to be ruined by use by non-skiers. So there's a carrot and stick there, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Trail conflicts are not always fun to work through, but hopefully we can all work together and all find our recreational opportunities and find enough space in Anchorage to enjoy those.
Yeah. Well, my guest here is Jeff Scott. He's the president of the Nordic Ski Club, Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage. My name is Charles Wolforth. The show is Hometown Alaska. As you can tell, we're talking about cross-country skiing. Championships are going on out at Kincaid. We're still hoping to hear from James Southam, one of our additional champions who's from Anchorage. We're going to come back and talk more right after this break.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the show repeats tonight at 10. Remember, tonight's recorded rebroadcast will not be taking phone calls. Following this afternoon's broadcast, you can also find a copy of today's Hometown Alaska online at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back. It's Hometown Alaska. We're talking about cross-country skiing, not only racing, but also the recreational skiing, skiing for kids, all the different things that are involved in cross-country skiing, which may not be our official town sport, but maybe should be since we've produced two national champions who both have won races today and races this week at Kincaid Park. And we're sending a team to the Olympics at Vancouver that's loaded with Anchorage skiers. You know, I think if all the population of the United States that was as cross-country ski avid as Anchorage, we would probably never not win all the medals because obviously we're doing more than our part for the rest of the country. So if you'd like to call in and get involved in our conversation, anything about cross-country skiing is germane, is on the table. Our phone number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. If you're calling from outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And email is at hometownalaska@kska.org. And I'm just going to make sure that we don't have one on here. And right now I'd like to go to a caller, and this is Stu. Did you have a comment, Stu?
Yeah, I live over by Bartlett, and it's often rumored that Bartlett has better snow because of the plume cloud from the Sullivan conversion plant, that big steam cloud that comes out. And I happen to know that they're trying to build another conversion plant somewhere in Anchorage, and it might be advisable for the Nordic Ski Association to try to figure out if this plume clouds do help snow conditions to try to place one of those conversion plants somewhere where they have a trail system. Especially other than the Centennial Bartlett area, because we already have one.
Okay, well, that's an interesting. I've never heard that before. It happens that I'm on the board of directors at MLMP, and that plant is putting out a lot of steam because it's got a cogeneration where they reuse the heat with additional steam to make power. There is a new plant that is being built near Raspberry Road and Minnesota Drive, which is going to be co-owned by Tugetch Electric and MLMP, and I'm sure it'll be putting up a cloud of steam too, but that's kind of far away from Kincaid. I'm not sure where maybe Connor's Bog will have better snow.
There you go.
So thanks for your call, Stu. It's interesting.
Yeah,
I never heard that before.
They might have an option over there by the dump in the Eagle River High School trail system or, you know, even Chugach High system, track system over there. But, yeah, it seems to produce more snow. That's just what people say over at Bartlett.
So. Interesting.
Okay, thank you.
I have to get a scientist to tell us why that would be. Now I'd like to go to Doug, who sounds like he had a question that I wanted to ask. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Hey, I'm 50 years old. I've never been involved much with cross-country skiing, and I'm interested in trying to get into it and just looking for some suggestions on what might be the best way to break into the sport. I can take my answer off air.
Okay, thanks for the call. Jeff, did you have a comment?
Excellent. Yep, the Anchorage Parks and Rec has cross-country ski lessons. And if you go to muni.org/parks, they have a full schedule of beginning adult ski lessons. And that'd be a great way to get started and get some basic entry-level coaching on cross-country skiing.
Yeah, it's just it's actually a pretty easy sport to learn. It's not as scary as downhill because you're not you're not looking down a big slope. All you have to do is at first is just walk, and if you can walk and certainly ice skate, then you can probably start skiing.
Yep, and Russian Jack's a great place to learn classic. Hills aren't very very steep and very long. I remember the first time at Kincaid when I was learning and going down Little Niagara, and that was a pretty scary hill and skinny cross-country skis. But yeah, there's a lot of good areas in town to learn, and again, the municipality's got some great lessons.
Right, and in terms of getting started, you also don't have to spend a lot of money because you can get used equipment, and the entry-level equipment for new is even reasonable, probably under $250 for a whole setup. I would guess. It's been a little while, but I know that I think you can get skis for about $150 or less first starting out.
Yeah, I would think so. There's ski swaps and played against sports, and if you want to start with some used.
Lots of opportunities. All right, so Doug, are you? Did that answer your question? I think you're off.
Yeah, that sounds real good. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for calling. And now we're going to go to Gene, who has a comment about Matt Sue.
Oh, hello. Yes, this is Gene.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, we have a new ski club out in the Matsu Valley. It's Matsu Ski Club. And we have some pretty fun trails. Of course, we have Hatcher Pass, but we have Moose Range trails that we keep groomed. And I'd like to invite anybody that wants to ski out there to just go to matsuski.org, and they can find out the information there on trail conditions and know more about our club. We're also started a junior Nordic program this year that we're pretty excited about. So,
excellent. Great work, Gene.
That's great. I just pulled up your website, and we will make sure to get a link to that from kska.org. So matsuski.org.
Gene, are those trails in the Kepler-Bradley area?
No, the Moose Range is between the Palmer Fishhook Road and Buffalo Mine Road. It's basically at the base of Hatcher Pass before you go up into the pass. Before you go into the pass, it'd be on the right side on the base of Arcos Ridge.
Wow, that's total news to me. I'd never heard of that before.
I hadn't either. So it's exciting to have some more trails, and exciting to have another Junior Nordic program to encourage more children to take up cross country skiing.
Oh yeah, we're real excited out here, so we're pretty happy. Anyone out in the valley that's listening today, invite you to go to our website, and we also have a Saturday morning women's ski, and every month we have a moonlight ski, which on the predicted full moon night, couple of the more fun events we got wax clinics and then technique clinics too, so we're pretty excited about our program, and so I guess that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. That is a great program.
Good. I mentioned the Nordic Ski Association's newspaper, and it has pages in it for each of the clubs, and it's interesting to look at how active it is in Fairbanks and in Homer and Talkeetna and all up and down the rail belt. There are these ski clubs that have got races going on and activities. I've got a couple of kids who are involved in the high school programs, and at this last Lynx Loppet race, there must have been 700 or 800 kids there, plus all the parents and the volunteers. It's just amazing that something of that size is an organization is going on. Is that part of the stuff that your association organizes?
NSAA supports the Anchorage School District races. We groom on contract for the school district, but we also support them in the organization and putting on the events as far as setting up the stadium, timing, very actively involved with the high school races. And I want to encourage anyone to become a spectator and come watch some of the high school races. They are exciting. You're right, Charles. That Lynx Loppet with over 700 kids was pretty exciting.
It's amazing. And there's races going on for adults as well, and you don't have to be Keegan Reindl or James Southam to do it. As I know from having done a few, and I guess you've done the tour of Anchorage and about 2,000 other people a year. Tell us about those programs. Are they designed for different levels, or how do they work?
The Tour of Anchorage is in its 23rd year this year. It'll be March 7th. That's an outstanding event. That's one event that I participate in, and I always enjoy seeing racers 20 years older than me beat me by quite a bit. But anyone can race it. It's a tour. Of course, there will be some very fast skiers because Anchorage, as we see, have a lot of fast skiers. But that's one of the ski marathons across the country is the Tour of Anchorage. And again, 23 years we've been doing that. So that's a great event, 25K, 40K, or 50K. So anyone mm-hmm. can participate. We also have on ski racing a citizens race. And that's a great event that is put on every year. It's sponsored by AMH, and it's called the Anchorage Cup. And you'll see it all ability levels, all ages. It's a great series, great race. And again, you can find that on our website, anchoragenordicski.com. It's called AMH Anchorage Cup.
Mm-hmm. And so anybody can participate. You just go out there and pay a fee and get in the race. Okay.
You got it.
Okay, and so try yourself out. You think you're a hot shot? This is your chance. If you want more information about any of that, get on kska.org. We have links to various, probably everything you need in terms of the skiing world and here in Anchorage. And we're also welcoming calls on our show today, 550-8433. It's a local number, out of town, 888-353-5752. And now I'd like to go to Joe, who I think had something more to say about learning skiing. Joe?
Yeah, how's it going? I'm a new snowboarder convert.
Yes.
Just the sheer access up here. I couldn't resist the lure of getting out there with my dog. And now that I'm kind of flailing on my own, I'm curious, are there like weekly programs for us newbies to come out and learn, you know, techniques and tips and tricks and stuff like that?
Well, Jeff noted the Muni programs. Do you want to go over that real quick, Jeff?
Yeah, it looks like beginning adult skate ski lessons are Fridays and Saturdays. Beginning adult classic, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So they've got quite a schedule of beginning ski lessons.
And that would be at muni.org/parks, and we'll make sure to get that link on the website as well. And then for higher level skiers, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on. There's the master's program at APU. There's different things you're going to get into. But for starting skiing, you can get those lessons, and then I think it's just all about just getting out there and doing it, and you just totally get better. At least I've been at it since I was about 6 years old, and I get better every year. So,
just like Keegan said, if you keep working at it, you get better. Your technique improves, and learn some of the tricks, and just have more fun out there.
Well, thanks for calling in, Joe. We're going to go to another caller. This is Kimberly.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name's Kimberly Miller. I'm the park ranger for Alaska State Parks up in the Hatcher Pass area.
Oh, great.
And I just wanted the public to know about the Alaska Trails Day that we are offering on Saturday in conjunction with the Mat-Su Borough. And Mat-Su Borough is the coordinating agency for this. But we do offer free parking for everyone in all the parking lots up at Hatcher Pass on Saturday the 9th. And the Mat-Su Borough will have REI giving out free skis for people to try, skis, boots, and poles down at their parking lot up in Hatcher Pass.
Oh, so if you want to try skiing for the first time, this is a good opportunity.
Yes, a chance for people to try some different types of gear without really having to pay for it. They get to try it out for free there. And Mat-Su Borough has set a nice little circular track up out of their parking lot that people can try that gear out. And they can also try some skating gear, and the Mat-Su ski organization is offering free skating lessons up at our rescue cache up in the Independence Bowl parking lot. The Alaska State Park side will be offering free hot drinks up there and a tour of the rescue cache early afternoon, about 12 to 3.
And what was the date of this again?
That's this weekend on the 9th. Saturday,
okay, great.
The 9th.
Coming right up.
And, yes, and it's in celebration of Alaska Trails.
What I'm going to suggest is that we get the website for the state park up on our website, because for those who are, don't know how to ski, they may not even know where Hatcher Pass is, so that would be helpful.
Okay.
And I know that, Kimberly, you guys have some great material on the web, because I see you have weekly reports on the trail conditions and the snow conditions in the backcountry and all that.
Yes, we do. Now, the schedule comes out actually on the Mat-Su Borough website, since they're the agency that's coordinating the event.
Oh, I see.
And so if you could put a link to them, I'm sure they'd appreciate that.
Okay. Well, maybe, I don't know if the call screener can talk to you and get that information as soon as we're done. Thanks very much for calling, Kimberly. We're now going to talk to David, who wants to talk about the high school programs. David?
Yeah, the high school program is one that, you know, I guess I kind of like to brag on. I don't have that much to do with it. But the high schools and the coaches that put all the time into it have really done a great job, you know, for the last 40 years in bringing cross-country skiing and making it competitive and putting on some really fine races with the help of the Ski Association. So, you know, just a big thank you to all those ski coaches that are working in the high schools.
Yeah, and those, and they had a big part in producing these national champions and Olympians that we have now, which I think is takes a village to make a champion skier, and I think that Keegan made that really clear when she was on the line. So thanks. That's a really good point, David. I don't want to get you off the line, but we have James Southam on now, and I'd like to bring him on the air. James, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here.
Well, I want to say congratulations. I was following your progress on the commentary on the website at my desk and just rooting for you all the way, and I'm really, really glad to hear you won that 30K.
Yeah, thanks. I was pretty fired up there, too. It, it was a good day.
Tell us how the race went. Were you leading the whole way?
I led for probably about three-quarters of the race. Chris Freeman led it was a four-lap race. Chris Freeman led the first lap, and then I took over on the second lap, and then halfway through the third lap, I skied away from Chris and another and David Norris from junior from Fairbanks. He actually had a great race today. He caught back up to Chris and myself. I knew he'd gone really hard to get us, and then we got to an uphill, and I decided to pick the pace up and kind of make him suffer a little bit, and I looked back and I was all alone and said, well, I'm going for it. Here we go. So and it worked out. So it was pretty sweet.
That must be a great feeling to win. I know you've won national championships before and other big races. Is this one of the bigger ones for you?
For sure. I mean, this my first one because it was a complete surprise, and this one I needed to put in a good show to make a statement for the Olympic team, and you know, being at home, being at Kincaid, being in front of my family, my friends, and it was awesome.
That's great. So, what is the status then of the Olympic team selections? This doesn't give you any kind of an automatic, right? But it gives you a leg up to make the team. How does that work exactly?
It's nothing. We find out on the 19th. It's today definitely helped me. I think it, you know, I've been one of the top two distance racers in the country for the last couple of years. And I think, you know, the other day was a pretty good race, but it didn't really show that I was that much better than the rest of the guys. That was when I was third in the skate race.
Mm-hmm.
And today I think I just needed to make a statement and you know, hopefully I made it and they listen to it.
yeah. Well, it's tough now to have to wait for a while to find out what the final outcome is, I guess.
Oh, that's totally frustrating, because there's, you know, if I end up not making it, there's races next weekend that I kind of need to go to, and you know, but the team's not named for till the day after those races are. So I think after this week, I think. There's a good chance, but nothing, you know, nothing's for sure. But
right.
This is the longest week of the week before championship selection is always just a very long and agonizing experience.
So I imagine. So will you keep, so if you're going to the Olympics, you don't want to race until the Olympics because you want to save it up. Is that the?
Yeah, if I'm going to the games, the plan is to take a few days off after the final race on Friday, and then put in a good chunk of training and try and put together a nice peak for the games. If I don't, then there's the Super Tour Series, which is the top series in North America. I need to go follow that around and win some races, and so I can make sure I've got a spot for the Spring World Cups.
I see. Yeah. So we talked to Keegan a little bit about how she came up and how she got to be a skier and the influence that programs like Junior Nordic and High School Racing in Anchorage had on her. Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are.
I started skiing when I was a little shooter, like, I don't know, 3 years old or so with my parents. Then when I was probably about five, I wanted to start alpine skiing. So I did that and just kind of played football, baseball, basketball, that kind of stuff. And then I started skiing, as a freshman in high school, tried out for the basketball team, got cut, figured I needed something to do for the winter and signed up for the ski team, and I've been doing it ever since. So it was, I started at service, but my final 3 years of high school were at Diamond, and working with John Clark and Lynn Hinderman, was just awesome. I mean, those two were a good yin and yang. JC was a little more serious training technical type of coach, and Lynn was awesome to be around, super super motivating, and it was a really cool experience for high school racing for me.
So it's that ski culture in Anchorage. It kind of, if you don't make the basketball team, there's always skiing because everybody's skiing, right?
I never really thought about skiing.
Yeah.
I think my parents, I came home for dinner one night and told them I wanted to join the ski team, and they looked at each other like, what? Where did this come from?
Wow, yeah.
But it was in that year, I think that year I started skiing was when national championships were here back in whatever, 92 or whatever it was. And I went out there and saw the top athletes in the country at the time going at it, and I thought this was pretty cool. And ever since then, I've sort of had in the back of my mind that's what I wanted to do.
Was there a moment when you realized that this was something that you would be devoting your youth to? I mean, you're still a young man, but you've been at it for quite a while. And mm-hmm. And did you have to at some point make a decision that, like, this is the one thing that I want to do?
I think in high school, kind of my last couple years of high school, I mean, I knew I wanted to do it through college. I also knew from a pretty early age that I wanted to see how good I could become. I think I just took it a little bit more seriously than most of the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, there was no big one sort of aha moment. But I think it was just sort of a gradual progression of, I really dug the training and I saw that it worked. And so I just kept doing it. But it took a while. I think I was 25 before I won a race.
Wow.
It took a while for sure.
Stuck with it, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
James, this is Jeff Scott.
Hey, Jeff.
In Nordic skiing, you tend to see better results as you get a little bit older, right? Keegan mm-hmm. mentioned a figure skater winning at age 14. I mean, it takes some years to really develop into Nordic skiing and be successful, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the top guys on the World Cup or anywhere generally for, 27 to 30,
yeah.
Early 30s, every so often you get sort of the super talent who comes up when they're in their early 20s and does really well. But it's one of those things that takes skiing as a sport. The technique is very specialized, and it's not, it's just something that takes a lot of time on snow to really get the feel, and then also to build up your endurance and your strength. And
the body develops as well as the skills. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to go to a caller, but I want to ask you one question that's been I've been thinking a lot about, which is I've never hit the point where I didn't want to ski anymore. You know, the more I could ski, the happier I am. But I'm wondering if skiing is your full-time job, do you ever just say, man, I do not want to ski? You know, do you ever get sick of it, or does it still have that same joy that it had when you first got into it and you loved it?
There's days when it's definitely work. Like, you know, there's days when it's like in October when it's 35 degrees and raining for a week and you've got to go out the door and train and it's, you know, then it's definitely a job, but it's a cool job. Like I wouldn't trade this for anything. And it's something I'll keep doing on some level, you know, as long as I can still move around.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of people are very envious of you right now for not only for your performance, which is just amazing, and the level you've gotten to, but also for, you know, lifestyle, and also you just seem to have a fantastic attitude. So I really, really thank you for representing Anchorage and representing our country, and congratulations. I want to. We have a caller now, Ron. I don't know if you had a question for James Southam or for our other panelists, but go ahead.
Thanks. Not a question for James. Just a great congratulations. It was a great race out there today.
Thanks, Ron.
Wonderful preparation on the part of the whole crew. Anchorage should be really proud of all the effort that goes into something of this caliber. And I think just from some of your comments about seeing that back in the 90s and then inspiring you to go on personally to accomplish your goals is a good lesson everybody should follow. Often little kids aren't taken seriously, things that they want to do, but some of those early dreams really do play out later on to something that is very beneficial to them, and I like to think to the whole community. So one of the things I called in to talk about was I think a lot of folks are reluctant to take on something like skiing when it's an outdoor sport. They aren't so well-versed in how to dress for it or just what's required. Maybe it looks like too much of a job to tackle, and our lesson programs are wonderful. But we do have some other options in Parks and Rec, who I work for, to get people started. And I heard someone else mention the idea of starting with walking and hiking and skating. And really, many of those skills are translatable to skiing at a later point. So if you're not ready to get into a lot of equipment or the commitment to try to ski, something unusual, maybe came from the south and you don't know how to do it in the first place, get into something where you can walk on our trail system here in town. We've got a lot of skating events starting up and that have been going on in the past, Westchester Lagoon.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, the skating club now has some things going on at the Oval and Cuddy Park. We're doing a Victorian skate on
January. I want to thank you, Ron. We're out of time, and I want to thank you for that excellent comment. And for the other callers, I'm sorry we're out of time, but it's been fascinating and a really, really quick hour for me. I want to thank my guests, Jeff Scott and Keegan Randall and James Southam. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are, as I said, an inspiration. And thanks to all the callers. Next week on Hometown Alaska, Ellen Lockyer will be here talking about New Year's customs for many different cultures that make up Anchorage communities. I want to thank Christian Spack, who did a great job engineering the show and takes care of the website. Constance Huff takes care of the phones. Pat Yak, Vice President of News and Public Media. And also B.D. Trantina, who does a fantastic job and helps out a lot. Thanks very much. KSKA Anchorage, I'm Charles Wolforth.
Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.